You're listening to Fancy a Brew Podcast with Aaron and Lucy. Email us on fancyabrewpod@gmail.com. Fancy a Brew Podcast. Find us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for Fancy a Brew Pod.
Welcome to the Fancy a Brew Podcast. I'm Lucy and I'm up in Leeds and I'm joined by my pal Aaron, who's in London.
Hello, how are you?
Hi. Oh, I'm good, thank you. This has been, it's been a while, it's been a long time coming, hasn't it?
It has. Unfortunately, 2020 got in the way. And all the things we're going to talk about in the pod, so I don't want to ruin it at the beginning, but absolutely. what's the view from tier three now? I'm in, as from now, actually from 2 hours ago, we're in tier four in London.
Gosh, I know. Well, to be honest, it's not much different to lockdown tier three, and tier four is even much the same, isn't it? So I guess we'll be able to chat about that a bit further down the line in this episode, but I checked on our the host platform where we like upload our episodes, and we last released an episode in May.
So, wow. And wasn't that a two-parter as well?
Yeah, so this could go that way, but who knows. So I'm sorry about that, but lockdown, work, parenting, boozing, name and no names, all got in the way, really.
I mean, last Saturday I went out into Soho because it was like the first weekend that we were in lockdown in London, or the second weekend. It lasted for 2 weekends. So I went out for unlimited Proseccos at lunch. And then we went to the GOI bar and had two more bottles of Prosecco. So we had about 7 bottles of Prosecco between the two of us. Oh, we both fell asleep and got thrown out of GOI bar at 6 p.m. Don't remember getting home.
God.
And then I went out the day after, right, to the same place because they do unlimited Prosecco for 20 quid, which is featured in my other podcast, The Culture Cast. And I walked in and the guy... I know, right? The waiter took one look at me and he was like, "Oh, you're back again. How are you feeling?" I was like, "Oh no." He was like, "You were a little bit drunk when you left it yesterday." I was like, "Oh no." He's like, weird. And then you can get either unlimited Proseccos or unlimited Aperol Spritz. It's like 20 quid for an hour and a half of each. So he was like, because he knew how fast I can drink. He was like, "Oh, well, one of us wanted Aperol and the other one wanted Prosecco, so he just brought 2 glasses of Prosecco and 2 Aperol at a time." Nice. For about 3 hours. Oh, my liver. It's foie gras at this point.
Oh, bless you.
So I'm determined you and I are not going to talk about all the bad stuff that's happened this year, because we all know what 2020 has been like. It would be fair to say an absolute shit show.
yeah, but absolutely, like you say, there has been some really good bits to it as well, and you know, that is certainly not the case across the board, and I'm very well aware of that, but we've both had some silver linings, I'd say.
Yeah, and yours has been probably one of the most interesting stories of 2020. You're an entrepreneur, you're a high-flying businesswoman. And you are quite, it would be fair to say, the oracle of the podcasting and media virtual assistant world. Now, all this humility, I'm not going to deal with this northern humility. I've lived in London too long now.
I'm just so humble.
You are. That's what I think of you whenever I think of Lucy. Do you want to tell us about your random idea in the beginning of lockdown?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, before I do that, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm either drinking a Bucks Fizz or a mimosa, whichever one has more Prosecco to orange content. I can't remember which one it is because it's the festive edition. How about you? Have you got a good northern drink?
I've got a very southern drink. I've got a Camden pale ale, Nice. Which my pal bought me for my birthday, so I'm sipping on that. And then I've also got some water, you know, for health and all the rest of it.
Well, my body is a temple. It's a temple filled with food and alcohol, but it's a temple nonetheless. But I have some water here as well, just in case.
Sounds like a delicious temple. So so yeah.
So you've kept us waiting long enough. Tell us about it. Come on.
I know. Yeah. So just to say though quickly, this is going to be like a bit of a catch up episode, and then we'll finish off as we normally do with something that we learnt since last time. But in May, I think it's actually probably earlier than May. In March, I decided that I wanted to become a virtual assistant, and it's something that I've considered for a while, but I didn't really know how to sort of go about it. Met a lovely woman who lives on the corner from me who is a virtual assistant, and we went for a cuppa when we were allowed to do that, and I basically like picked her brains, to use a better phrase, for kind of, you know, how I started. Is there anything that I needed to know? Is there anything I needed to do? She gave me all this brilliant advice, and then I sort of took it from there. So I bought a domain, I got myself insured, I did all the things, I set up a website, and then I was like, what do I do now? And it was sort of May time, and I started like a mentoring program with another virtual assistant who's brilliant. And she, through our sessions and stuff, we were chatting away, and it became really clear that the thing that I am most passionate about is podcasts. And that has really grown, and it's been really exciting. So I make 2 podcasts for virtual assistant. I make 2 podcasts for clients. One of them is another virtual assistant, and the other is a co-working membership. I don't even know how to describe it. Yeah, co-working membership business that is based up the road from me in Leeds, and I've been chatting away to a lot of people about potentially starting podcasts, and it's been really nice to sort of get my name out there a little bit and have people kind of find me and think of me as like the podcast expert.
The podcast queen.
The podcast queen. I do my best. So I've been doing that since like since May properly. The first podcast that I worked on came out in September. I've got 3 in the pipeline for the new year, and a few other bits and pieces as well. So it's been really great, and I've met some brilliant people. I've met loads of fantastic women. I've just had I've had a really great time, and considering, like we said, we aren't going to talk about it, but it's been a tough year, to say the least, and I've felt that, but knowing that I have this business that's going really well, it's just helped, like, it's helped loads. So that's what I've been up to, really. That and parenting a now 1-year-old, which is absolutely unbelievable.
Oh, she's so adorable as well. Oh,
thank you, my love.
She's so cute. Oh, I do love your posts when you post with her in, you know, in the park or on a walk. Aww. You've so taken funny. Her somewhere and she's fallen asleep, like to, you know, soft play, and she's fallen asleep before we've even got there.
Yeah, we were going to go on the swings at the park of the day, and I got to like the corner, you know, to turn into the play part bit, and I looked down and she was just like flat out, like, oh. So so we just went on a bit of a longer walk, but that's fine. It means I can listen to a podcast when she's asleep, so it's not all bad.
And what podcast are you listening to, actually? Because I need some recommendations from you, actually.
So many. I wrote a newsletter for my clients, and I thought I would talk about podcasts that I've listened to this year, and you know, like books I've read and TV programs that I've watched and films and stuff. And it was like, I don't know, 20 podcasts and like 2 TV shows by the end of it. But I have been listening to the Doing It for the Kids podcast, which is about freelancing, obviously also if you're a parent, but I think even if you aren't a parent, it's a really good listen. The About Race with Rennie Edo-Lodge podcast is really good. Desert Island Dicks is really good. David Tennant does a podcast with podcast is really good. Driving the Green Book, which is about during the sort of Martin Luther King era in the States, 60s, I guess. If you were black, you had the Green Book, which was like a sort of travel guide of places that were safe to stay. And it sort of takes you along that journey. So that's been really good.
Oh, wow.
It's fascinating. Listen, the Hunting Jelen podcast about Jelen Maxwell.
Sorry, go on.
Tough listen. A really tough listen, but unbelievable. The Lockdown Parents in Hell podcast, which is not for you, but it is fab. Table Manners with Jesse Ware, Shag Married Annoyed, the Taskmaster podcast. There's only been, I think, one episode this year, but the new series of the Missing Crypto Queen has been fantastic.
You got me into that. You got me into that. She is
brilliant.
That is amazing.
So great.
It's a dodgy Ponzi scheme.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Two Not Blondes is great. This City with Clara Ampho is great. A friend of mine from school has set up a podcast called Until Further Notice, which sounds really dry, and it's not, but it's about like policy and like leadership and all that kind of stuff. It's fantastic. She goes to Harvard now, which is, you know, so it's got to be good. And then there's a podcast that I've downloaded, but I haven't listened to it yet, called Transmissions, the Definitive Story of Joy Division and New Order. So
I honestly thought that was going to be about trans people.
Not quite, but I think that would also be good. So I've got that to start. But there's like 8 episodes, and I need to just find the time to listen to 8 episodes or something. But that's an exhaustive list, but there you go.
Mine are all political.
Of course they are.
Because, you know, I'm obsessed with politics. So, Monocle24 is the foreign desk, talking politics. Irish Times Inside Politics.
Mm-hmm.
Stories of Our Times, The Daily. I do love Conan O'Brien's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. That's very good. And I'm looking forward to when My Dad Wrote a Porno comes back. They've done a Christmas special I've not listened to. But have you heard the Bunga Bunga podcast?
No.
About the whole backstory of Berlusconi. It is amazing. No. Really good. Yeah. It's only 6 episodes. I was going to my friend's for lunch. My friend who I'm in a social bubble with. Mm-hmm. We both live on our own, so we're in a support bubble. It's just a pop bubble, not a social bubble, sorry. and I was walking down. I decided to walk from Elephant Castle down to his house in Clapham, which takes about an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to nearly the entire series on the way. I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
So good, so good.
I'll get that on my list.
Yeah. And TV, I've got a Fire TV stick. I've got a projector and a Fire stick for lockdown, the last one. Mm-hmm. And I've got into that really bad habit, which is why I don't have a TV, of just sitting there and just like watching without actually watching anything.
Yeah, totally.
But I did watch a very interesting series the other day with, it would be fair to say, my arch nemesis in it.
Here we go.
Krista Aykroyd is in the Ripper documentary, because that's how she became famous, didn't she, when she was on Pennine Radio.
Is that what it was? I wasn't sure, actually. I didn't know her backstory, but there you go.
Yeah, she got famous covering the Ripper story. Really fascinating series. Fascinating series. You can understand why women in the North don't want to go out at night of a certain generation, and why in Leeds, for example, they have Reclaim the Night, which was all off the back of Jack the Ripper, the Yorkshire Ripper. But it reminded me of, speaking of your business, all of these different streams are going to feed together into one stream now, all these threads, as it were. Mm. Reminds me of your reels on your Instagram account.
Mm.
Everything that you post has subtitles on it.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why. But I can, from a...
because I'm deaf as shit, and I think, you know, it's only fair to accommodate other people who have rubbish hearing like me. Don't let that put you off the fact that I'm quite good at editing podcasts, by the way. But
well, yeah, but you're better than everyone else, because the audio is connected directly into the Bluetooth of your, yeah, your hearing aid, so you exactly. can carry on editing and walking around listening to stuff.
Well, that's it. That's how I do it. But I think it even goes down to, like, you know, when you're up in the night and you can't sleep and you end up looking at your phone. But if there's, you know, if Jack's next to me and I can't sleep and I look at my phone and there's a talking story that I think I might want to listen to, I'm not going to put my speaker on so that I can hear it. If someone's captioned it, then I get the gist, don't I? I know what they're talking about. But there are people out there who can't ever hear that. And for me, it's all about being accessible and for making the effort, because there's a whole audience of people out there who, you know, prefer to read the captions for whatever reason. And that's why I do it. And I don't think it takes that long.
Yeah, and that wasn't a criticism. It's just I remember when you started doing it, and I found it quite interesting, because on the Ripper documentary, whenever they speak with anybody with the Yorkshire accent, they've got these subtitles on screen every time anybody speaks, and I'm like, oh, wow. And somebody messaged me and was like, "Is this your original accent?" I'm like, "Yes, because it's filmed in my hometown. Absolutely, it is. Yes." I never really sounded like that though. Even when I lived in Yorkshire, they were like, "Where are you from?" I was like, "That street just there."
Yeah, literally.
Maybe not. It's wrong way of ice. It's like it's an enunciation. That's what it is, my friend.
Gosh, I know. I haven't seen Ripper yet, but I watched. There was one on BBC maybe a few years ago, that it was like a three-parter, maybe it was on Channel 4. Anyway, there was one on the telly a few years ago that someone I worked with was on the team and who made it.
Was this a dramatization that was on ITV?
No. It's like a three-part documentary series, and then weirdly someone that I used to work for in Leeds was like a talking head on it. So it was like a whole worlds collide thing. But it was fascinating and just like unbelievable the way that the women were treated, the way that women in general were treated, and, you know, the like, don't go out after like 8 o'clock or whatever it was, or don't go out when it's dark. But not like, we're going to catch this man. You know, like, men stopped killing women. It was like, women, you have to stay indoors. Like, what is that all about?
Yeah, there's one person who's on Piccadilly Radio. Mm. And she was like the first woman to be a reporter on Piccadilly Radio. Mm. And she goes to cover this. And she's sat in a room and she's like, all the police are men and all the reporters in the room are men. And not one person is asking from a woman's perspective how this feels. Sorry, you're gonna lead them to the point, I think.
I just think it's unbelievable, isn't it? That double standard of like, men can still go about killing and raping and just being general horror shows in general. Not all men. But I think like, so that means that women have to then stay indoors and just be like, you know, meek little ladies, and that's just not the point, is it? Like, people have to go out and go on about their daily business. You shouldn't have to like restrict what they're doing just because some asshole doesn't know how to like live a life.
Yeah, and it was it. I mean, I don't know if this is true or not, but it's one of those legends that everybody says is true. That wimpy restaurants up until the early 90s wouldn't let any women alone in their restaurants after 9 o'clock at night because they just assumed that they were women of the night, as it were. Yeah, or a good time girl, I believe. That's the expression that they use in the Ripper documentary.
Oh my gosh, a good time girl.
Yeah.
Bloody hell. It's so like antiquated language, isn't it?
It is, and it makes you think about just how far we've come since since the, you know the rights and I know people sometimes you know, it doesn't seem to be the case now. People don't say it as much anymore, but certainly I would say between early 2000s, maybe like 2005 to 2017, everybody used the term like, oh, that's too PC. You don't really hear that much anymore.
No, I don't think you do. Certainly not as much.
And I don't think being PC, being, you know, not deliberately going out of your way to offend somebody is necessarily a bad thing.
No, right. I don't either. No, but I would say just steer clear of any like local paper comment sections or, you know, the Daily Mirror, not the Daily Mirror, the Daily Mail comments. Ugh, awful place.
Yeah. I was looking at some of the comments on a YouTube stream, on a Facebook stream about a comment that Alistair Campbell, cause he made a comment today that, was it like the worst prime minister and the worst government at the worst time or something is the comment that he made. Obviously that's his opinion, not mine. But you know, the amount of, it just, the contradictions on an almost daily basis. Do you know what I'm going to do this weekend? I'm going to drive to Barnard Castle and close my eyes the whole way, just to test my eyesight with three young children in the back. whilst having COVID.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely bonkers. Anybody else would have been sacked on the spot. It's hilarious. Yeah. But, and the same token, I think I'm softening my, as I'm getting older, as it were. And my ex-boyfriend said this to me when we met up a couple of months ago. And he was like, you're not quite the woke lefty that you were. I was like, wow. He was like, you seem to have chilled a bit. It's like, it's not all like left-wing politics on your Facebook all the time. Because I do appreciate that it must be a really difficult job that they're doing right now.
Yeah.
I believe they've got the right people in the right roles to do any of those jobs. But even in that situation, it must be quite difficult not knowing what the science is going to be like from one day to the next.
Well, yeah, I can totally like empathise with what you are saying in terms of no one's ever done this before, have they?
Yeah.
Like, no. What do you do when you're faced with a situation that you've never dealt with or had to look, even like think about?
Yeah.
However.
Yeah. Pushing forward with Brexit in that situation.
Yeah.
Completely. Exactly. Undermines my whole argument, doesn't it?
There are just like there's families out there going hungry. There's people who haven't worked since March. There's people who are just like, oh, sorry, that's my daughter's monitor going off. There are people out there who, you know, who are in real dire straits situations and don't qualify for any support. This government isn't interested in helping them. And to me, that is just outrageous. But, and that is not at all like an okay thing to sweep under the rug or whatever. It is unprecedented times. Although you would assume that in unprecedented times, those purse strings would just be like, yeah, let's help everyone that we can help and help them properly. But it's like,
the fact that UNICEF are having to jump in and feed the poorest in society, and then Jacob Rees-Mogg is getting up in and criticising them for feeding the children that they're not prepared to feed because they're all libertarians and they refuse to help the poor because, you know, they should know better, they're poor. Mm-hmm. I bet he's never, you know, my parents used to have a 50p electricity meter and they used to not be able to put money in it sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, I bet he's never had the situation where the 50p wafer thin ham and the 19p smart price orange juice that's already been watered down loads is going to run out. So you have to eat all the food in the fridge before it all goes off because there's no electricity. It has been quite a stressful year. And have you got any kind of coping mechanisms or tips that you've got that you've used throughout this? I mean, mine's alcohol, but I have had one particular thing that I've been doing throughout. What have you been doing?
Well, I have a couple of things, really. One of them is very new to me. The sort of first one, I guess, is that I've gone back into therapy, started therapy again.
Nice.
I think I just needed it. I think, you know, it's been one of those times, all of this bollocks aside, I've set up a business. I've got a now 1-year-old, you know, trying to work out, you know, I'm working on my own. I don't really, you know, I don't see my mates and stuff that much, obviously. And also, like, I realised that I don't really leave the house on my own for anything other than therapy. So I started therapy up again, and it's just sort of encouraged me to feel a bit more open and talk about things that are bothering me and kind of like contextualize what I'm worrying about, if I am worrying about anything. And I think, you know, being a first time parent, there's so much anxiety involved with that. Am I doing it right? Has she eaten enough? Have I fed her enough? Am I giving her the right things? She had enough milk. She had too much milk. Is she going to be warm enough? Is she cold? Is she too hot? Is she, you know, like, it's like all these questions. And there isn't a right or wrong answer, but it's how you, it's how you kind of like make it work in your own mind. Like, if your kid is happy, then your kid is happy and you're doing a good job, right? And that's what you would tell other people. But when it comes to yourself, it's like you just question yourself all the time. And I'm one of life's great overthinkers. So one of the things that I've been encouraged to do, and actually this was going to be my thing I've learned, but I've been encouraged to start journaling. And I started that maybe only like a week or two ago. But it's been really helpful. And my therapist laughed at me because she asked me how it was going on our last session. And I said, well, I sort of started it, but I'm not really sure. And she said, why? And I was like, because I don't want you to think I'm doing it wrong. And she was like, well, I'm not going to look at it. I'm not marking it. And I was like, yeah, but like, I don't know how to do it. Like, what do I have to talk about? She was like, anything.
Wow. I remember my therapist, and thank you for the recommendation, by the way.
You're very welcome.
I didn't realize how highly strung and anxious I was until seeing people that I haven't seen in a long time. And they're like, you're so chill and mellow. And I mean, at the moment, I haven't been. The last couple of weeks, I've been really, really stressed out at work. But she was like, why don't you write down, if you react in a way that you don't feel you should have reacted, what the trigger was and how you felt at that moment in time, and then write that down on a daily basis. I don't really get those moments, to be honest with you. Mm. I might have done it at the beginning, but it's been nearly 2 years now since we've been doing it. And she's fab. And I can only thank you for that because, you know, having the gastric band, you know, and having to deal with my feelings instead of eating them. Whereas now I have a new coping mechanism. It's called alcohol. I don't know whether you've ever heard of this coping mechanism. It's a very wise one that does not get anybody into any bad situations before.
But I've stories
of alcohol coping mechanisms. Indeed, interesting. So my stress thing is I was cycling every day, which I've not been able to do because it's been, well, one, I'm having self-isolate because I got a notification from the app telling me so. And two, it's raining all the time, and it's not great to cycle in the rain. Whenever I'm stressed out, usually on a Friday at 4 o'clock, just before my last meeting of the day, I tend to roll my own pasta, take out all that frustration, all the anger. Oh my God, Pasta Grannies is the greatest YouTube channel of all time. It is amazing. Have you seen it?
I have seen, yeah. So a few years ago, I went to the V&A and they had like a food exhibition on. Oh my God, I loved it. It was called like Food Beyond the Plate or something like that. And it was all about, it was really good. And it was all about how, like, the sort of journey from like seed.
I think you spoke about this on the very first podcast.
I think I have talked about it on here before, but it was a while ago. But towards the end of the exhibition, this is kind of the bit that I was mostly interested in. It was all about like food, like on telly, and food on like YouTube and social media, and how, you know, like food blogs and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, it's all about how that kind of has like exploded from like Keith Floyd and Nigella and Jamie Oliver, and then like foodie social media accounts and stuff like that. And I'm so sure that Pasta Grannies or whatever they're called was on it. And you got to like watch a few like little clips of them. And there was also like, oh gosh, I can't remember what it was now, but it was like a goth cookery.
What? Goth cooking?
Like, it was like screamo recipes and stuff. It was, yeah, it was totally crackers, but it just showed the breadth of like food on the internet.
You know when you my friend Ronald is forever making arepas. He's from Venezuela. I'm forever saying, apparently I said it so many times, but I think I only said it maybe 2 or 3 times. I'm sure when he listens to this podcast, I'll get a sassy little WhatsApp saying at least 100. I said quite a few times, do you know how easy it is to make gnocchi? And gnocchi is like one of the easiest things you can make. It's just mashed potato and flour. That's it. You just roll it up. Maybe some eggs sometimes, a bit of nutmeg, and then you just boil it. Easiest thing to make in the world.
Yeah, delicious.
But I'd never made it, right?
Right.
But we'd go on all the time, you know, talking about it and all the rest of it, and, you know, we'd be going back and forth about it. And I'd be, you know, I'd just say it's the easiest thing to make. I never actually said,
I've made it.
So randomly in the middle of the first lockdown, he messaged me and he said, could you send me your recipe for gnocchi? Because you're always saying how easy it is to make. So I quickly Googled a recipe. Right.
Amazing.
And then he messaged me later on and he was like, my gnocchi didn't work. It didn't come out the way gnocchi should be. Could you send me your tips and send me some pictures of you doing it? And I was like, look, I'm gonna have to be honest with you now.
I'm gonna have to be on the level here.
I've never actually made gnocchi. I think he didn't talk to me for 2 days after that. But I never actually said
sort of like nonna.
And then when I did make it the week after, because I was like, right, I'm gonna have to do it now, because it came out perfectly, and it just got this like meme, like this sassy meme, like, oh, for God's sake.
Of course it did. Yeah. Of course it did. That's well deserved, if you ask me.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So yeah. I made some...
You put your money where your mouth is, though, and made it.
Yeah, and apparently, as he says all the time, because we work together now, he said, I don't need to know what you're doing. I can just look at your Instagram stories because you post everything. I'm like, ah, bird.
Rude.
I know, right? And everybody's like, everybody I mentioned it to is like, yeah, you do. Yeah. I'm like, really, do I? I
don't know what you think about this, but I see a lot of people who are like, well, it's coming up to Christmas. I'm deleting Instagram for 2 weeks. I'm having a detox. And I just think, actually, I don't get to see my friends now because they live in other parts of the country. Or they're in different levels of lockdown or all, you know, tiers or whatever. So my
in every sense of that word.
Yeah, exactly. My mates are in my phone. Like, my mates are on Instagram, right? So I don't want to detox from that because my friends are there. So I want to see what you're up to, and I want to see what people are doing and live life vicariously through people who aren't chasing around a crawling one-year-old.
Yeah, but I find that people, when they make comments like that, and he's doing it to be funny and he's being sarcastic, but when people do say that to me, I find it's because they're comparing their life to yours and they're feeling inadequate at that moment, that they would like to do those things and they're not doing them. So they're comparing what they're doing with what you're doing. But what people don't understand as well is what you're doing online is not a true representation of your life. Uh-huh. If I post a picture of me with a bottle of a Prosecco, it's usually because I've had 13 hours of meetings where mm-hmm. I've argued my entire day and I've been pulling my hair out, although there's none left, because that at the end of the day, mm-hmm. my relax is a bottle of Prosecco. Now, mm-hmm. that can be seen from somebody outside in, not knowing the full context of why I'm drinking that, that I just have a terrible drinking problem and I'm showing off that I can afford to drink a bottle of Prosecco every night. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's not, it's, I think when people are comparing what you're doing to what their perception is of what you're doing, is sometimes it's not fair, is it?
No, well, I think it's that. And I think also like the outside that you put on social media is usually nowhere near the real goings on of what is happening in your, you know, in your living room.
I mean, I am a drunk. I am a drunk slut. I mean, I'm not gonna. It is a true representation of my life.
But no one knows the other side of it, do they? They don't know that you're in meetings all day and you're stressed out, whatever. And like, I just really enjoy seeing, even if it is the bad stuff that people talk about online, I just really enjoy seeing like what my friends have been up to.
Yeah.
You know, like when you post a story or you post an image on a grid or whatever, I just think like, oh, there's Aaron. I wonder what he's been up to. I hope he's all right. And then it might remind me to WhatsApp you or something, you know, like just that little like moment of, oh, I need to get in touch. Which is usually
I'll tell the whole world we're doing a podcast and we have to record it.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I did like that.
We would not be here right now, would we?
No, we wouldn't. We would not. You're right.
And for that, I am grateful. So it's lovely to chat.
Yes, I thought I'd take this opportunity to talk about some of the good things that have happened for me this year as well.
Oh, yeah, please.
Obviously, you setting up your own business, being a mum, having a wonderful husband who's incredibly supportive, and the old therapy, all of it's,
the dream.
You know, living the dream. I was making a list and checking it twice.
Literally about to say just that.
Were you? Nice. sorry, I stole your thunder there.
Oh, no.
Of all the good things, and I couldn't fit it all onto one page. I had to go onto two pages of all the good things that happened here. So I was determined that in this podcast, we weren't going to mull on lockdown because I am so sick of hearing every single interview or podcast or conversation. People are complaining about, we get it. We're all in it. We don't need you all to remind us all the time. I'm listening to your podcast to get away from it.
Yep.
So let's start with March. Got promoted.
Congratulations.
Got a new team.
Mega congratulations.
I helped a friend get a job.
Amazing.
And they're excelling in that role. They're doing an absolutely fantastic job.
That's beautiful.
A couple of weeks ago, I was asked to virtually present an award at the Community Radio Awards, the sports category of all the awards.
Because you are famously dead sporty.
You know me. You know me. I have, and my athleticism is beyond compare. I'm going to get the BBC Sports Personality of the Year at some point.
Yeah, that's on tomorrow night, so we'll have to tune in and see you win.
Well, you'll see me there in my Budgie Smugglers because I'm a swimmer. which was amazing because I got to judge as well, which I love doing on that award ceremony. At the beginning of lockdown, I put on weight. Then I lost a load of weight. And when I got a bike and I'm cycling every day and I had a personal trainer at the beginning of lockdown, then I put on a load of weight. Then I lost a load of weight and I've put a load of weight back on. But sure. I figure I'm in self-isolation and we're going into tier 4 at midnight tonight. That shows you the day that we're recording this. So I'm not going to worry too much about that. No. It's amazing. I don't know about you, but I feel like I've made loads of new friends and I don't know how I've done it. Like virtually considering I've not really seen anyone. Mm-hmm. Like it's been very strange having to catch up with old friends who used to seeing face to face, like you and I.
Yeah.
On a video, but then being able to see all these and having real intimate friendships and working relationships with people, because you get to see people more on a one-to-one basis than you would have done before, because you'd be in the office with the other people around. Mm-hmm. Whereas on a call, you get to know people a bit more personally, which I found to be quite helpful. Had a lot of therapy, which has been great, because my therapist is now like, Aaron, can you tell me this restaurant that's good to go to? Or could you tell me, have you got this app? Or, you know, we have a really good relationship. She's fab. Mm. I've impressed a lot of handsome men this year with my lasagna making skills from scratch.
Is that what you call it?
they love how I can roll an egg.
I'm sure they do.
I bet they do. They do indeed. They do indeed. And there's always a bit of pork in that lasagna.
Bloody hell, there is.
100%. In fact, I need to use that pork in my fridge before it goes off, as it were. I think I've drank all the Prosecco in London.
Yes. I was like, duh, how do I react to that? Yeah, I don't disagree at all.
No, I got into a really bad habit over the past month, I'm not even going to pretend, of having at least one bottle of Prosecco a night, which is bad. So I'm trying to get out of that habit. But I figure, fuck it, it's coming up to Christmas, and that's what it's for. Sod it.
Well, look, I mean, we all need a bit of support, don't we? Mine's chocolate, so I get it.
Mine's chocolate and Prosecco. Yeah, I mean, this morning I had, this is how bougie I've become. I had Deliveroo bring me Waitrose food. So I had two biscotti cheesecake slices and a whole tub of double cream. And I'm forgetting that I have a gastric band, so I can't handle that amount of sugar anymore. So I was not well after that. But do you know what? At the moment, it tasted amazing. started a new podcast with Mel.
Amazing.
Doing culture. I went to Ireland, which was, you know, the 2 weeks before lockdown, and I got to catch up with my uncle, who sadly passed away from COVID a couple of months ago in Northern Ireland. He was old and frail anyway, but. Then my aunt, his sister, who was looking after him, also nearly died of it as well. She was in hospital the week after because she was looking after him. And then the most random thing happened in lockdown. I met up with my first boyfriend from university. I'm going to say when I went to university only a few years ago. Wow, that was a big laugh.
It was a while ago.
Yeah, well, you didn't do a great job, let's put it that way.
Just so yes. Useful.
Thank you. What can I say? And he's doing really well. And what was really nice to see is I wasn't as neurotic and insecure, and he wasn't as, to put it quite frank, irritating as hell as he used to be. And we both kind of matured. It was really nice, actually, to the point where because he lives on his own and I live on my own, and he can't go away for his Christmas lunch and I can't go away for mine, that we're going to be each other's support bubble over Christmas. Nice. Yeah, because I've not had a support bubble yet. So we're going to spend Christmas dinner together.
Oh,
Which would be quite random and awkward and nice, and it'll be. And thankfully, I'd already pre-ordered all my food just before this lockdown was announced this morning.
I mean, there are so many. I don't know if you follow Simple Politics on Instagram. But
actually,
they,
no, but you've said politics. Hold the line, caller.
Hold the line, caller. I'm going to get on that. It's really good. It kind of, them and lovely Lydia, who, small plug, is one of my clients. She's amazing. They kind of distill all of the noise around politics and, like, just give you the facts and give you the information rather than, like, the go to work but don't go to work and do go to work but if you can't go to work don't go to work, all that bollocks. She's Lydia and Simple Politics are really good, but they Simple Politics posted an update on the guidance that's come through today about tier four and Christmas dinner and all the rest of it. Christmas dinner makes it sound like it was on the menu. Christmas day and the guidelines around that. And there were so many people in the comments that were like, I've just ordered like a turkey for me and the two of the households that I was going to spend Christmas with, and now I'm going to have all this food that actually I can't eat, and these people have to then make their own arrangements for Christmas, and you know what I mean, and it all just becomes like an overflowing thing. And it's like, I totally appreciate why the guidelines have come in, and at least they haven't come in on like Christmas Eve or something.
Yeah, but they should have done that. They should never have said.
It should never have been three, yeah. You know? And I just can't. We're having Christmas, just the three of us, but my mum was going to come on Christmas, on Boxing Day, and now I don't think she can do that. So it's just all a bit shit, really, isn't it? But the good thing that comes out of it is that if those who, you know, need to, who are in support bubbles and can still do that, and hopefully it might mean that the curve is squashed a bit more and all the rest of it. But I mean, it's just a bit rubbish.
And that's why I feel. Because you can see when, because everybody's having a really difficult time, yeah. And I'm sat here moaning about, oh, woe is me, I'm sitting on my own drinking Prosecco every night. And when I talk to people, I can see them visibly thinking to themselves, oh, fuck off, you know, because like for work this year, my year genuinely has been probably one of the best professional years I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
I spent the entire summer in Paris from July until the beginning of October. Yeah. I spent the whole summer in Paris for work, in line with the guidelines, and we were exempt from the quarantine because I was a key worker type role. But I had to get tested before I left, and I had to get tested when I got back as well. So, And I feel like, I was saying this the other day on a call at work, I feel like I can't say, you know, people say I'm good at humble brag, but I don't think it's a humble brag. I think it's when you've come from nothing.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the things that you've worked really hard for.
Mm-hmm.
That I feel like I can't say it because people, again, doing that comparison thing that they do before, you know, it's not always been like this. This is the first time it's ever been like this.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't want to talk about, you know, staying in Paris for like 3 months for work. Do you know what I mean? Because I don't want people to get offended and upset, like, you know, you and your journal with your therapist.
That was a sly dig, wasn't it?
No. I thought I was connecting the two stories together quite well. That wasn't meant to be.
No,
take out that sassy tone. That wasn't meant to be a sassy tone.
It
wasn't. I genuinely wasn't meant to be. I was just trying to put all the threads of what we've been talking about together.
No,
oh, wow.
I know what you mean, because I have, like, so when I talk to my family about work and all the rest of it, one, they haven't got a bloody clue what I'm talking about half the time anyway, which is fine, you know. Sort of, who knows what a virtual assistant is if you aren't a virtual assistant or a small business owner looking for a virtual assistant. It's totally fine. I totally get that. But I feel like if I talk about not money in like a, you know, like, oh, I've got loads of money, boy, which I don't. But you know what I mean? Like if I talk about money, I feel like, or like opportunities or, you know, anything really that I'm sort of like showing off. And Jack always tells me to be like, you know, more sort of open about my achievements and stuff. But when you come from like a quite, not even working class background, it's like how you express those things in a way that is real and honest and open, but then isn't like, check me out, I'm like Billy Big Balls now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and people think that, don't they? And you're like, yeah. I'm not saying it because of that. I'm not trying to make you feel inadequate. I'm just being like, I've worked 14-hour days for the past 10 years, and do you know what? It's actually working out now, and it's paying off. And
exactly.
I don't want to feel bad or feel like I shouldn't shout about successes.
That's it. And you've got to celebrate, you know, you've got to celebrate the good stuff, because if you don't do it, who else is going to do it for you? Having said that, when it comes to like talking about it with like my mom, I know that she's proud and I know that she's like, well, you know, well done you. But I feel like I'm just rubbing her nose in it. Like, look what I'm doing and all the rest of it. And I know for a fact that she won't see it that way. But, you know, we might talk about money, or like maybe not even money, but like how much something cost or something, you know, like, oh, and I've got to pay for this and it's X amount. And in my head, I might be like, oh, that's manageable. But in her head, that's like, shit, how am I going to pay for that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's that line of like we've talked about this before, haven't we? Like, we may have grown up working class, but now we are definitely not working class anymore.
How very dare you? If only they could see me pouring yet another glass of Prosecco in my own apartment in London. Yes.
Exactly. You know, in my house that I have a mortgage on. Mm. I grew up in a council house, you know, and
so did I.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before, but my brilliant therapist said that you know, we'll feel like we don't really fit in that old world, and we're struggling to see where we fit in this new world because it's new to us and we don't know how to really navigate it. So we're in this weird little limbo, but the only way to get through is to just keep on doing what we're doing, because everybody else you can guarantee is feeling a bit unsure of themselves, especially, you know, given what else is going on.
It's really weird because I think it's also not even not just a working class thing, but also a Yorkshire working class thing as well. Mm. We were at my sister's wedding. I was at my sister's wedding. I was talking to my uncle.
I was not invited.
Yes.
I don't know, so I don't know why I would be invited.
Okay. But... I'm sorry, my sister, who you don't know, didn't invite you to her wedding. I'll take it. He's a stranger now anyway, and he left her after 6 months anyway, so... So you didn't miss much. he was a prick anyway, in my view, and a loser. So at the wedding, my uncle, you know, they live in Yeadon, which is close to airport.
Yeah,
they're very posh. Yeah, they've got a nice, you know, they've got shares, and they've got, you know, they live a very, very comfortable life, and he's worked really hard for it. He grew up in a council estate in Keighley.
Yeah,
I remember they went to my cousin's for his wedding in Australia, mm-hmm. and I said, did you fly first class or business class? And they were like, oh well, we had points, and you know, and I was like, you work hard.
Yeah.
I was like, it's okay to fly business class? I was like, what is it like? He's like, it's amazing. I was like, do you get free champagne the whole way? He was like, yes. I was like, oh my God, that is amazing.
That's a dream though, isn't it? Like, I Jack and I made these lists a while ago of like almost like a bucket list of things that we want to do in our future. And one of them, on one of mine, was to fly at least business class somewhere like long haul, you know, like to have that experience. And like, if you can't do it once in your life, and if you can't do it when you've worked your ass off to go to somewhere like Australia, like, bloody when can you? Like, good on you, uncle and auntie, for doing that. I think that's amazing.
Yes, I agree. Sorry, I've just got my friend's messaging me and he's having a bit of a moment about this new lockdown situation. He has anxiety and he's getting a bit stressed out about it.
Who doesn't?
And I said, this is only a blip in your life. The other 31 years of your life, because it's been nearly a year, so I thought 32, take off the year, 31. And he's put, sorry, what? How old am I? I was like, 32. And he was like, what the actual fuck? I'm 29. Like,
29. Oh, what a youngster.
Yeah. Oh, God, I'm just perpetually awkward. I just put my foot in my mouth.
I mean, your point is valid, though, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm conscious. We've been an hour now talking, which isn't great if we edit this down, and it's actually not an hour. I do that every time.
No, I know. It could become a two-parter, so we'll soon find out.
Indeed it could. I think we should do that because neither of us wants to edit it. although I'm self-isolating, so if you want to send it to me tomorrow, I'm doing nothing else in my life.
There you go. Yeah, drop you.
So what have you learned in 2020, Lucy Critchley? Knee Duffield.
Knee Duffield. And I also had another surname before that, but we don't... Yeah, anyway. So,
Is this like before you were in the Witness Protection Programme? What's this all about?
Yeah, I got married when I was 10. No. when I was born, my surname was Lucy Tribe. So my name was Lucy Tribe. That's my dad's last name. And then when I was 10, my mum had been in a long-term relationship with Mr. Duffield, we'll call him. And then they were getting married and it was all a thing. And I obviously had a different last name. So they got my name changed from like my 10th birthday so that we were all the same family name.
Really?
Yeah. And then...
and then you got married.
I got married. So here I am, Lucy Critch. So this year I have learnt... God, this year sounds ridiculous. How long has it been since we recorded? Well, I've learnt a load, haven't I, really? Like, I can run my own business successfully. I've actually taken on somebody to work with me, which is amazing. I have made, like you were saying, I've made some brilliant friends. Like, there's so many lovely virtual assistants out there. And one woman in particular, weirdly, used to work in TV in the same role as me, has a daughter called Edie. And we're just like, she's like my twin. She's like a doppelganger.
The bit that worries me is, does she really have those things, or is she slowly trying to take over your life? Is this like single white female? What is it?
Maybe it's the other way around.
Yeah. Dum, dum, dum.
But no, Stacey is amazing. And I've just met so many wonderful, brilliant people. And isn't it funny how total strangers become like your biggest cheerleaders? Even though your mates are all brilliant and wonderful and cheer you on and encourage you, there is almost nothing like a stranger quote on the internet being like, you could do this, for you to actually believe in yourself. So
yeah, and I think the thing is that when somebody online is interested in the thing that you're doing, and if they're an expert or they've got an interest in what you're doing, I'm not saying your friends don't, friends are there to support, and but
there's something extra about it, isn't there?
Yeah, it's nice getting that from a from a not an anonymous peer, but like I'm going to sound really corporate now, like an SME peer, like a subject matter expert who's also a peer who can give you the advice to be like, yeah, you're doing the right thing.
Exactly. And that's what's really valuable, I think, because when you run your own business, you feel like it's just you against the world almost. Like, I didn't already feel like that anyway. But when you're in your own business, it's like extra, you know, it's like that on acid. It's like, it's so much more intense, that feeling of like, well, only I can answer this question and only I am in the position to, you know, to find out whatever it is that I need to do to fix this. But actually, it's really not the case. And I feel, you know, I feel like I'm part of such a brilliant community of virtual assistants and other business owners, and just, yeah, it's been fantastic. And, you know, I've also learned that my husband is pretty lovely, and Jack has been a total legend throughout all of this, looking after Edie for extra time so I can get work done, like cheering me on when I felt like unsure about whatever it is I'm doing, and, you know, telling me that him and Edie are proud of me, and like, it's just been,
oh, that's lovely, isn't it?
It's just been gorgeous. And you know, sometimes when you don't really believe it yourself, hearing him say it certainly like goes some way to helping me like believe it a bit more.
And I realize I'm just surrounded by absolutely wonderful people. I have so many great interactions and friends, and people might irritate the hell out of me, but overall, everybody's genuinely nice. Everybody's got something going on, and it's just finding that bit of compassion, I suppose, and having those meaningful conversations with people.
Yeah.
Can you tell I've been in therapy for a long time, and I do learning and development as a job.
it's true, though, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I come away from therapy, and I know you have yours via like Skype, but virtually, but I go to see mine.
Okay.
And on the drive back, I listened to Two Non Blondes podcast because it comes out on a Wednesday. I listened to that, and I drive back, and I'm sort of laughing alone, like I'm in the car with two mates, and then I'm thinking about what we've talked about, like subconsciously in the back of my mind, and I come home and I'm like, oh, that all makes so much sense now, like all the context and all the like.
I did the same.
Yeah. And it just makes, for me anyway, it makes a whole world of difference.
Yeah, I like to do mine at the end of the week, because then, you know, like a Thursday or Friday morning, then I'm kind of quite energized for the weekend.
Yeah.
And then I tend to find like on a Monday or a Tuesday, I'll be sat and I'm like, oh, that's why she said that thing. Oh,
yeah.
She's trying to get me to think about this and that and the other. It's
that happens to me.
Yeah.
It's like delayed reaction for me.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I'm a reflector. And I think that's the anxiety, isn't it? For reflection. I tend to think about it afterwards, subconsciously, when it gets into my consciousness, then I suddenly like, that's exactly what she was saying.
Yeah. Because something will happen and it'll trigger you, and then you'll be like, oh, well, I won't be doing that again. And it like just makes it all.
Or in my case, I'll just do it over and over and over and over and over again. It's been lovely, as always.
Really nice.
I will see you in 9 to 12 working years for the next pod.
Let's try and be better.
Our New Year's resolution.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you and catching up.
And you as well.
And one thing I think is really worth explaining is that genuinely this is the proper first catch up that we've had.
Yeah. So when we listen back to it and it's all rambling.
Like, hang on a minute. Did we even finish off that conversation?
But people seem to like it. I get nothing but good feedback from people. My cousin came for lasagna the other week, the other month. It was at a time when he could come for I wasn't breaking the rules at that moment in time. And he was like, oh, you know, I love your podcast. I was like, oh, God, my mummy issues castrating.
If you want to get in touch, you can find us on Instagram @fancyabrewpod, or you can get in touch on email It's fancyabrewpod@gmail.com. And we would love to hear from you. So, yeah, drop us a line, drop us a DM, get in touch. Erin and I are on Instagram, on our personal accounts. You've changed yours now, haven't you? What are you?
I have, because I'm sick of people asking if I love trains. So it's no longer Erin Trains. It's now Erin in London.
Amazing. And you can find me. I'm lucycritchley.va if you fancy finding out what that's all about.
I suppose all it leaves us to say is Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. If you can have a relaxing time and you can spend it with at least one member of your family on Christmas Day, in whatever tea you're in, if you can socially distance and bubble. Oh, do you not need to drink? I can't even deal with this.
What we're trying to say is have a lovely time if you can.
And thank you very much for listening.
Yeah, thank you very much. We will see you next time.